Well, congratulations to both of you, both award winners today.
Thank you.
Bit of a surprise for you, Margaret.
A very big surprise for me, yes.
Now, Doug, you knew this was coming, and you shared your story in front of the crowd. Why don't you tell us a bit of your story with literacy?
Yes, I wasn't able to read and write right from day one. I never passed a grade in my life, right? I learned how to cheat really, really young, because when the teacher would ask you to copy something off the blackboard, I would literally copy it, right? I wouldn't look at it as a whole word. I would look at it as like C-A-T, and that's all I know was C-A-T, right? But I didn't recognize it as cat. And then when I was doing math, as far as division or something like that there, I've counted a lot of apples and oranges. There was a lot of extra thinking.
And it was at age 14 that you decided to leave school?
The last 2 years that I was in school, it wasn't beneficial.
What grade were you in?
I was supposed to be in grade 8, but I was doing like 2.5 grade 3 work. I had an opportunity to get a job in Ontario. I started off as a roofer, and then as time went on, people asked me if I could do carpentry or whatever, and I would say yes, even if I'd never done it before. I managed to learn several different trades, and that's all just by watching somebody do it and then say, yeah, I can do that.
Not having those literacy skills, the reading and writing skills, how did you adjust? How did you cope?
Well, it's like if you went to a restaurant, then you'd pretend that you're reading a menu too, and then when the waitress would come around, if she come first, I'd say, oh, I'm not ready yet. And she'd go around the table asking whatever, and then I'd pick from whatever somebody else had ordered. I'd just say, I'll have what he's having, or I'll have what she's having. A lot of stuff you just get used to. It's not that you can read it, but you know that when your electrical bill come in, okay, it's from the electrical company, right? And now down at the bottom of it, it says you owe $75. So you go and you pay the $75 as far as paying bills.
Was it something that you were self-conscious about, or was it something that you gave much thought to over those years?
Well, yeah, it bothered me because I always had to depend on somebody else for reading any kind of documents, right? It was difficult in the sense that I missed out in a lot of opportunities because I couldn't read and write. A lot of times I would tell people I can't read and write after they knew me for a while. And they'd say, well, you don't talk like you can't read and write. And I've often wondered, how does a person talk that can't read and write, you know? It was difficult. It's like when I was 11 years old in school, it was Valentine's, and I had kind of taken for this one little girl in the class, so I figured I'd make her a Valentine's card, right? So I did, but I spelled love wrong, and she actually made fun of it, which probably stopped me from writing any cards or whatever again, eh?
But I have to say, one of the highlights of this luncheon we did is where you presented a card to your sister and read the card to your sister. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, well, before what I would do is I would go to a store. I'd be looking to see maybe if there was somebody in the card section, and I would ask them if they would read the card for me, and I'd tell them the situation. So I got cards that way. But this year, now I bought my sister a birthday card, and I went to the store, read several different cards. I picked out one. And today at this gathering, I thought it would be a good time to read it out. So I found it myself and read it myself.
And I just want you to know how much I appreciate the closeness between you, the closeness between us, how much it means to me, to be able to share so much with you, my sister, my friend. Happy birthday. That's my sister Cher.
And this new path opened up for you. It was about 4 years ago. Why don't you tell us what happened?
I got what they call stenosis of the spine. It was damaging my spine and right at my neck. So I was having a little bit of back trouble and hip problems. So between the leg, hip, and back, I'm not able to physically do the work anymore, like as far as carpentry. If I had my grade 12, I could maybe be a supervisor or a foreman, or I could put a project together for somebody. I figured if I'm going to make a living, I'm going to have to use my brain. In order to use my brain, I would have to be taught how to read and write. So I found Margaret.
She found you, and this was through you walking through the doors of the PEI Literacy Alliance. What was going through your head at that point?
Well, I was kind of nervous, right? But I knew that I had to do something. But they were very nice people, said I had a perfect tutor for me, which was Margaret.
And Margaret, you were honored today for your work volunteering with the Literacy Alliance, but your interest in education, literacy, this goes back quite a while.
Oh, it goes back a very long while, yes. Yes, I taught for 20 years here, and I've been retired for 7, so.
Retired with quotation marks around it, though.
Well.
Because you worked here with Doug, so why is it important for you to do this kind of work in your retirement, Margaret?
I totally believe in it. I believe that to be a reader gives you independence. It gives you confidence. It gives you opportunities and choices that you don't have if you don't read. I just feel that it's a real key for being successful in life.
So, Doug, what's it been like working and learning with Margaret?
It's been great. It's like I'm dyslexia, which means that I get a few things backwards. More numbers than anything, right? We went through a process, and like I was a little farther ahead than ABC, so we didn't really have to do the ABC thing, but we had to work on sounds. Basically, from the start, right, it was a journey through the alphabet, right?
And clearly a good team here. The two of you worked well together.
We work very well together.
Doug, it sounds like your school experience hadn't been a positive one. So what was it like to get back into that kind of a learning environment, that education environment with Margaret?
It was difficult, but it was something that I had to do. You have to go one step at a time, right? And you only get what you put into it. Of course, it's like that in everything in life. You only get out of it what you put into it. I knew after my injuries that it wasn't going to come in the door and say, here's your education you've always been looking for, right? So I went looking for it.
Was there a moment through this, through working with Margaret, where it just kind of clicked the first time where you went, I'm getting this?
Yeah, there was a lot of light bulb moments, right? It's like, oh, okay, I understand this, right? Every day you learn something new, right? You know, and again, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of repetition, right? And then there's words now that I don't have to try to figure out anymore. It's like the thes and the withs and the ands and the wheres and the whos. And so I don't have to spend time trying to figure them words out anymore. So it's better now. It's better.
What's that like for you, Margaret, when one of these light bulb moments happens?
Honestly, it's fun. Doug would say to me, oh, that's that word. Or, oh, I wasn't pronouncing that right at all. And no, it is fun. What I found with Doug, though, is that Doug is very curious and watches a lot of documentaries on TV and is very interested in the world. And as a result, he has a large vocabulary, so that when we did come to a word, he could figure it out once we went through 2 or 3 syllables. Oh, that's what that word is. And he knew right away what it meant. Like, his comprehension is high. Very high. No, we've made some wonderful progress. And there are times he's always, always really happy to see me because I have a coffee there.
You know how to get results.
I do. I do know how to get results, yes.
So, Doug, a new world has opened up for you now. So what does the future hold for you? What are you thinking now?
Well, I got, I'd say another, maybe another 2 years before I actually get my GED. But when I get my GED, I'll probably take some kind of a small business course. Either I'll go work for somebody else, or I'll start up a business of some sort. They say that you should have an attainable goal, so I feel that I do. The GED is attainable. It's just a matter of putting in the time. It means freedom. Freedom 58. I'm 58, so I figure by the time I'm 68, which they say now is still young, so I'm hoping between now and 68 that I'll be, I'm not hoping that I will be, I know I will be successful at something. My choices after I get my GED, that's when I'll know what I'm going to do. If I want to take any other courses or whatever, then they're it's available to me.
Margaret, what does that mean to you to hear that?
That's why I do this. It's wonderful. I see things opening up for Doug. I already have seen many things open up for Doug. I know he will do it. I believe in him, and I'm sure that he will succeed in this.
Thank you both so much for sharing your story, and congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.